section on the Bible as far as the amount of scriptures that we, well, not counting this morning when we only covered one verse, but for the most part, it seems like we've picked up the pace a little bit. And so this will be the last message in this particular chapter. And this message is really about what did the cross mean to Jesus? Or what did the Lord's death mean to him? So let's stand together and let's take our reading from the very last four verses out of this chapter, beginning in verse 28. John chapter 14 and verse 28. Ye have heard now, I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. Now, Father, we're looking at a subject that probably, well, I know, it's not even considered very often. So I pray, Lord, that as we look at it, we'd have a really just one simple thing, and that is that we would have a deeper love and appreciation for you and see how we can be just as selfish as the disciples are, not worried about your glory like we ought, but worried about ourselves more than we ought. So as we look at this text in that light, I pray, God, that you would speak to us and cause us to love you and to desire to be more conformed unto your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have a book. I have a series of books home in my office over here. I have books at home, too, but not the ones that I'm talking about right now. But anyway, I have this series of books home, and it really is a bunch of sermons. Every book is a bunch of sermons. Some are on the second coming. Some are on the virgin birth. Some are on the resurrection, and some are on the cross. But and all the messages in there on the cross, none of them deal with what the cross meant to Christ. What did his death mean to him? They all deal with, you know, what the cross means to us. And so we're going to try to talk to you a little bit tonight about what the Lord's death or what the cross meant to him. But before I get into that, I will say this. The central truths of the Christian faith are the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They are central, they are key, they are above all. R.C. Ryle said, Jesus' death is the grand peculiarity of the Christian religion. Other religions have laws and moral precepts. They have forms and ceremonies, rewards and punishments. But other religions cannot tell us of a dying Savior. They cannot show us the cross. This is the crown and glory of the gospel, the death of Jesus Christ. When we say the cross, we mean what Jesus did there, his work on our behalf on the old rugged cross. And it is at the very heartbeat of all that we hold dear as Christians. Dr. John Woolford said this, no event of time or eternity compares with the transcending significance of the death of Jesus on the cross. Other important undertakings of God, such as the creation of the world, the incarnation of Christ, his resurrection, the second coming, and the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, become meaningless if Christ had not died. Now, I would have not put the resurrection in there because obviously he wouldn't have risen had he not died. But beyond that, I think that's spot on. In the study of Christ and his suffering and death, one is in a holy of holies, a mercy seat sprinkled with blood to which only the spirit-taught mind has access. In his death, Christ supremely revealed the holiness and righteousness of God as well as the love of God which prompted the sacrifice. In a similar way, the infinite wisdom of God is revealed as no human mind would ever have devised such a way of salvation, and only an infinite God would be willing to sacrifice his Son. The death of Jesus was the reason that he came. John 12, 27 made that very clear. He came to give us life a ransom for money, many, and so that by his death he might reconcile believing sinners to himself. Over and over, the Lord told his disciples of his coming death. And he told them it was going to be at the hands of wicked men. Over 20 times he mentioned his death to his disciples. It was told by the Old Testament prophets. John the Baptist mentioned it. Moses mentioned it. Elijah mentioned it. His death brings to life all the rich blessings of salvation. Turn to the book of Romans just for a moment. Romans chapter 3. In verse 24, Paul wrote, and we'll look at three different verses in this particular book, one in chapter 3, one in chapter 4, and one in chapter 5. Romans 3 and verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4 and verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Chapter 5 and verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. His death brings to life all the rich blessings of salvation. We are justified. We are declared righteous. We are redeemed from the slavery of sin, all because Jesus died for us. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, since God had determined, according to Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins, it was absolutely essential that Jesus Christ die. And then in Matthew 26, he himself said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. As far as the death of Christ, it reconciles all believing sinners to God. Leon Morris put together a list of what the Lord's death means to you and I, those of us that know Jesus as our Savior. Now, this is a couple of sermons in itself. But listen to this. I think this is terrific. First of all, this is what the Lord's death means to us. We are redeemed. I quoted a moment ago Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It means we are made nigh to God. It means that we are reconciled to God, Ephesians 2:13. That is, we were enemies with God. God was holy, we were not holy, but through the Lord's death, sinners can be reconciled to God. And then it says how Jew and Gentile are made one. Now that is not to say that the Jewish nation has been grafted into the church and the Jewish nation is no more important. But it is to say that Jews and Gentiles, those of us in the New Testament, because that's what Jesus brought in through the death of the testator, the New Testament, we are all in the same family, one body in Christ. Then it says in Hebrews 9:14, it means that we are cleansed. We have been cleansed from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And then it says we are justified. We stand before God. We have a righteous standing before God, a justified sinner. Praise the Lord for that. It says that we are sanctified in Hebrews 10:10. We are perfected forever in Hebrews 10:14. We have been purchased unto God, Revelation 5:9. The bond that had been against us was nailed to his cross, Colossians 2. We have boldness to enter into the holy place, all because Jesus died. We are loosed from our sins. They're like we have been held in them and in bondage into them, and the chains have been broken, and we are loosed from our sins. By his cross, peace with God has been secured for you and I. By his cross, we have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. I guess I mentioned that this morning. Then, His blood established a new covenant. And then lastly, Mr. Morris said, his death redeems us from all iniquity. Do you know what his death means to believers? It means everything. It means absolutely everything. Look in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul wrote this. Paul said, and I think we should have this attitude, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What an attitude Paul had. And then he wrote also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ in him crucified. To the apostle Paul, the death of Christ meant everything. The cross meant everything. We sing a lot of songs about the cross. We hear a lot of sermons about the cross. I mentioned I have in my library a sermon, a book. Every sermon in it is about the cross. And in all honesty, not one of them is about what the cross meant to Christ. So have you ever considered what the Lord's death meant to him? Because in our text back in John chapter 14, the disciples never considered it. They had walked with the Lord. They had been with the Lord for about 3 years. Some of that time they weren't with him, but I mean off and on for the majority of the last 18 months, they were with him almost nonstop. But they had spent all this time with the Savior and had never considered what the cross meant to him. All their dreams, all their hopes, all their ambitions centered around their master. And now they are finally getting what he had been trying to tell them for 20 times or more when he predicted his death, that he meant exactly what he said, that he was literally going to die on the cross. Now, knowing how they felt, he spent a lot of time of his last night with them, comforting them, encouraging them. He tried to reassure them. While he would not be physically present, he tried to reassure them that he'll still take care of them. Then he also told them the Holy Spirit, the helper whom Christ would send, would come to indwell them. He will empower them. He will guide them. This was exactly what they needed to hear, that Jesus was going to continue to be with them and to take care of them. Now, despite his promises to them, including the guarantee of his resurrection, the disciples were still severely disturbed. And he said unto them in verse 27, peace I leave with you. They're still bothered by all this. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. And then he even said,